From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Sri Nikhil Kaushik. Nikhil hails from a family whose name has been intricately linked with Bhagwan for over four generations. His great-grandfather, Sri Seshagiri Rao, was the first official pujari in Swami's old mandir. It was his family who conceptualized and started Akhanda Bhajan for the first time in 1946, led by his grandmother Srimati Sundaramma. His family continued the annual tradition of Akhanda Bhajans for 25 long years, after which Swami declared it to be a global event. Nikhil has an engineering degree in electronics and communication and did his MBA from Bhagwan's College in 2007. During this time, he had numerous opportunities to interact with Swami. He was a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group and was part of multiple plays enacted in front of Bhagwan. This talk was delivered on the 26th of May 2017 as a part of the Region 1 Sai Retreat in the United States. Stay tuned, dear listeners. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some soulful songs sung by Bhagwan students. And at 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. With that, over to Sri Nikhil Kaushik.
Shantakaram Kalushaharanam Satya Sai Sarvesham Partivasam Prashanti Nilayam Bhukti Mukti Pradatam Vishwadharam Kalushaharanam Divyate Jovikasam Vande Saim Harihara Rupam Paramakalyana Namam Vande 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 Paramakalyana Namam.
Respected elders, my brothers and sisters, Sai Ram to all of you. A few weeks back, when I sat down to put my thoughts together to say, what should I be sharing today in this occasion with all of us? I paused for a second and looked back upon the last 25 to 30 years. And then I realized that there are very specific instances, specific experiences, which have defined my perspective of Swami. Some of these instances are very trivial. Some are profound on spirituality front, but nevertheless, they've had extremely high impact on me. Now, if I may call this perspective as a puzzle of Swami, these specific instances form the pieces of the puzzle. And what I found interesting was, if I try to trace the trajectory of how I started discovering these small pieces of the puzzle, it's not a very linear way. It kept growing and I built my perspective of what Swami meant to me. I found that I was going from literally zero and going back towards zero. But this time, there was a very distinct difference when I reached that zero. And I'll make the difference apparent towards the end. I found this journey extremely fascinating and I thought I'll share that with you. Some of these pieces of puzzle, and hopefully you'll also find it interesting. So, it was 1996. As most of you would be aware, India is a cricket crazy country, right? The sport cricket, it's a cricket crazy country. So the Cricket World Cup was being hosted in India. And all of us very, very excited. And when they rolled out the schedule, we saw that the quarterfinals was being played in Bangalore, which is where I grew up. So we were very excited to say, you know what, there's going to be quarterfinals in Bangalore. We should try and see if we can go and watch the game. The game started, the tournament started, and we realized that India qualified for the quarterfinals. So all of us got even more excited. And then what made it the most interesting is India was supposed to play Pakistan in the quarterfinals. Now that was it. All of us thought we cannot miss this game. We have to go watch this game in the stadium. So when the dates of the tickets got announced, all of us went to the stadium to buy tickets. And we stood in the queue at 6 a.m. or so. And we were there in the queue till about 4 p.m. And there were about 10 of them in front of me till the counter. And they closed the counter and said the tickets are sold out. Needless to say, I was extremely physically exhausted and also very disappointed. I came home and I started saying, this is unfair world. How can this happen? I've been wanting to attend this game for a long time and the tickets got sold out. And my parents said, don't worry. There are still few more days to go before the actual game. Let's try and see. And I'm sure most of you know there are many colorful ways to get tickets in India. So they said, let's try in some way. So hold on, don't lose your heart. So I said, okay, fine, let's try. And as days progressed, we tried all possible ways. We contacted everybody. We saw if there were second sales. None of that worked. And the D-Day, I think, if I remember right, March 9th, it was a Saturday, and that was the quarterfinals game. And on the Friday of that week, just the previous day, I lost all hope. I said, I resigned to my fate. I'm not going to go. I'll watch it on TV. Few of my friends and myself, we said, let's go near the stadium and see how it looks. What was very special was that was the first time Bangalore was playing under lights. There were floodlights for the stadium, so India was playing under lights. So we went to the stadium. It was electrifying atmosphere right outside. There was high security, a lot of people still trying to do something there. And then there was the small passage through which you could actually see through till the field. And there was a huge crowd trying to get a glimpse from there. And I also tried and I could see through till the field. Green grass, fresh grass, golden lights on top of it. It was a magical moment. And at that moment, I just couldn't resist. I broke down. I said, this is just so unfair. I've been trying for months now. I've been craving to watch this game. I've never watched a game. And this one match, how could this happen to me? I came home very disappointed. I remember that night just before I went to bed, my mom gave me a glass of milk and she said, don't worry, pray to Swami. I said, stop it. This is it. Stop it. No, don't give me any more hope. I've been praying for him for the last how many weeks now? What will happen from now till tomorrow? This is just not fair. So don't try to insist anymore. I will give up. I will watch it on TV. No problem. I slept. I went to school next day. It was a Saturday. Most of the class was missing. Either they had tickets or they were anyway making their own plans to watch the game. And whoever was remaining in the class were all talking about the game, which I did not want to do. Because I wanted to just underplay that whole game as much as possible because I did not get the ticket. I went through the classes. They left us early that day. 11:30, I came back home. 2:30, the match was supposed to start. And I got a phone call. And one of my friends from the class, we were just generally talking in the class. I don't know what led to this. She called me and she said, hey, you know what? My uncle has a pass. It's a VIP pass. Do you want to go? I said, this is just not possible. Now, your uncle has a pass, a VIP pass. Why does he want to give it to me? Why is he not going? I don't even know him. How did this happen? And I said, of course I want to go. So is it okay? Why doesn't he want to go? He said, no, he's free. He's okay to give it. If you want to take it, take it. I said, I will snatch it. I will definitely go. And I told my parents. And my parents were like, you know, that's a very high security game. Ask them if they have two. I'll send your brother along. I said, stop it now. I've got the ticket. Let me just go. I don't care. I just went to her house. I picked up the pass and I went and attended the game. It was a spectacular match. I don't know how many of you remember. India won the game. There were very, very special moments in the game too. I came back and I was so happy and excited. For the next few days, I just kept talking about that game. I just kept telling people how lucky I was and how magically I got the ticket. So all that happened, but that whole thing planted a small thought in my mind. How did this all happen in the last few minutes, or maybe last few hours? Anyway, fast forward a few more years. I passed out of school. I was applying for my college. There is a college in my locality where I live in Bangalore, which is very famous, pretty prestigious. All my friends were applying for the same college. I too applied. The college asked for some additional documentation. They wanted some more information. I was gathering that information, and finally when I submitted everything that they wanted, they said, it's over, the last seat is taken, we can't give you admission. I was back to the same state. I said, how can this be possible? I mean, I had submitted this application before. And you said there were seats at that point of time. And you asked for clarification. And you should have at least let me know, given me a preference or whatever. I had my own stories to say. But they said, no, I'm sorry, it's taken. So we can't give you a seat. I was again very disappointed. I came back. I tried to whine. I kept telling how unfair the world is. But nothing matters, right? So my father finally said, okay, let's get a seat in another college. And we went there. It was okay, not as good as the other one, but I should have. I had to go somewhere, so I went to that college. And I was so disappointed. I remember on the day when I took admission there, I was in tears. I just did not want to go to that college, but I had no choice. So I got admitted there. I came home. The other college where all my friends were, they started attending the college. And one day I was sitting and the phone rang. And I went and picked the phone. It was my music teacher. And she actually called to speak to my mother. And she asked me, hey, what's happening with you? Which college did you get? And I just needed somebody to just vent out all my frustration. I told her, this is just unfair. I'm sure there must be something happening behind the scenes there. They're completely unfair to me. I kept on cribbing about it. And they said, you know what? Why don't you come and see me on Monday? I said, no, stop it. I'm no mood to sing now. I don't want to sing for some more days. I'm very, very disappointed. She said, no, not for singing. I know somebody in the management group of that college. Let's go see them. Come and see me. So I said, okay, this is interesting. Let's go see what happens. And I went there. And she took me to that person. And that person said, listen, the college has already started. We can't do much. But if something opens up, then I'll definitely let you know. I said, okay, fine. At least we tried. Let's see what happens. And I came back, and again a couple of days later, the college sent me a letter saying, yes, your application has been accepted, come and join the college. I was very happy. I never thought this would happen. I walked into the classroom and all my friends were like, how did you come here? Like, what happened? And I was like, does that really bother? I've got a seat now, so I'm here. So these two incidents, somehow I was very happy. The same thing happened. I was extremely happy for the next few days, but somehow the thought again came back to me saying, what is happening here? Why is it that something happens which I don't like? And something changes. Something changes dramatically. And something changes dramatically in your favor. Why is this happening? I spoke to some of my friends, family circle, and the reason they gave me was this. They said, look at your parents. They are such good God worshippers. They go to the temple all the time. Look at the family background. You've got such a glorious family history. They've done so much. They've been worshipping Swami for such a long time. Obviously, Swami is blessing you. You are lucky. So take it in that and be grateful to Swami. I said, everything makes sense, but why am I not there in that equation? Like, everything is there, so they've done it. So whenever I feel disappointed, all I need to do is just keep crying and whining and pick up the calls more frequently, I guess. And then I'll get whatever I want. That's it. But somehow this was not satisfying. I did not get the answer that I want. Fast forward a few more years. I applied for Swami's University for MBA. And I went through the whole process, and God's grace, I got a seat there and I joined the college. I remember while going through the process, I had made a lot of friends in the group discussions. It was a 2 to 3 day process, and I made a lot of friends then. Most of them, or a lot of them, had very good credentials. They were of better institutions. They had more experience. Again, this thought kept coming to me saying, why did I get it? I did not have any answers at that point. I joined the college, and we had a class called awareness class. Professor G. Venkatraman and Rangarajan sir, both of them were there. And in one of the first classes, all the students were requesting, sir, can you please share some experiences? Can you please share some experiences? Which is a normal thing when new students join the institute. They want to hear, listen to a lot of stories. And Rangarajan sir said, you know, we can share how many of our stories as possible, but borrowed faith from somebody else's experience takes you only so far. What will take you longer is your experience, your faith based on your own experience. I said, this is not what I've been hearing. The world outside works very differently. I've always been banking on somebody else. And I've been told that's all it is. So what is this now? How do I get my own experience? How do I get my own faith? But somehow, it appealed to me. It made me think. It made logical sense to me. And then he said, no, this is your chance. You are here in Parthi. Swami is going to come back from Vrindavan in few days. He is going to be here. You can physically meet him. You can physically go close to him. Talk to him. Somehow, make sure that you experiment with him at your own level. You try to build a relationship with him at your own level. And that is what is going to last long after you pass out from this college and go out as well. That made sense to me. I thought, okay, fine. My 2 years is going to be eventful now. Swami was in Vrindavan. And the first thing which I wanted to do was, I wanted to sing in front of Swami when he came to Puttaparthi, and I wanted to do it the day he came there. A little bit of background on this is, my grandmother, my mother, my mother's sisters, everybody had had a lot of opportunities to sing in front of Swami. They had innumerable number of experiences while doing this. Swami acknowledged them as really good singers in Puttaparthi and in Bangalore when he visited here. So that kept playing on my mind to say, you know, all of them have had so many chances. I want chance to sing in front of Swami. I have to sing. So I found out what the process is, and they told me that there's going to be auditions very soon in the hostel, and you should clear the auditions test. And then you will need to sit in the front and ask for permission from Swami directly. And if Swami permits you, you can start singing in the mandir. I said, fine, I think the step one is pretty easy. I'm sure I can do it. Step two, I don't know, but when I get there, I'll find out. They called for the auditions. I went there. We were about 15 boys, I think, who had newly joined, who wanted to sing. And when we went there, turn by turn, sir kept asking us to sing, and I sang. And towards the end, they said, all of you, I have passed this audition. You can go and ask, except for 2 boys, and I was one of them. They said, 2 boys have not cleared. You'll need to come back later. And I was one of them. And I was in utter disbelief. I said, how is this even possible? And when I sat through all the audition tests, obviously the egoistic mind is playing on me, and I'm like, I definitely sang better than most of them. How is it that I did not clear this? I said, okay, maybe in the group singing, sir did not notice, maybe he got confused, new names, I had my own theories. I said, let me come back a few days later. Swami hadn't come to Puttaparthi yet, so I was like, okay, before he comes, I need to clear this. I left a few days later. I went back to sir. I said, sir, I want to audition again. He said, so soon? I said, yes, sir, I'm confident. I will. I want to sing. And he said, okay, sing. And I sang a new bhajan. He said, see, I don't know if you did not get it last time. Your singing is very Carnatic. And the bhajans that you have picked up are all Hindustani. So the style is very different. You've got to first unlearn some things, learn the way a Hindustani bhajan needs to be sung, and then practice that and come back, let's see. And I was again shocked to say, what is happening? Like, why isn't he not happy? All my friends say I sing well. I said, okay, fine. He said, why don't you go talk to some of your friends in the hostel, ask them for their guidance, and then come back. I said, okay, fine, let me go talk to some friends. I went and spoke to them. They told me, I don't see any major problem in the way you sing. It's okay, go after some more time. I had finished two rounds of audition. I went back to him again. And this time he was so stern. He said, I told you, did you first of all practice? Every time you end the line, you open your mouth so much, you need to taper it down. Your ending is so bad, you need to practice and you come back again. Don't come back to me every now and then. Make sure you do what I tell you. Of course, he was not so rude, but I'm just telling you, he was pretty stern. And I went back, and this time it was not joke anymore. I was like, how is it in the whole world this one teacher who has to clear my first round is not convinced? Why is this happening? And at that point, something within me started. And that was a constant conversation, I should say a monologue with Swami, started. What is happening, Swami? You brought me here. You gave me a seat. You've always made me sing everywhere you are there. Why is it that you are not giving me a chance now and making it so difficult? And this became stronger and stronger every single day. And I constantly kept knocking at his door. So it said, Swami, listen to me. I need to sing. I have to sing. And when you come, I should be ready to sing. Dates got announced. Swami's arrival dates from Vrindavan. He came. All my friends got permission. They started to sing. And here I am. And I have not even cleared the first hurdle. And I have almost taken that up as an insult. And I'm constantly fighting within me, saying, Swami, I need to sing. One fine day, he appeared in my dream. He said just two sentences in Telugu. And my reference always was, you know, you gave my grandmother so many chances. You gave my mother so many chances. Why not me? I am almost entitled. That's the whole approach to claiming that, right? And he said two sentences. He said, Sundarama is my grandmother. She said, Sundarama vall enta sadhana chesaro telusa neeku? Nu emi chesavu? That's it. Which meant, do you know how much sadhana Sundarama and her group have done? What have you done? And it was so strikingly straight at me, and I've always been referencing my grandmother for my chance. And he said, what have you done? And I got my answer. Okay, there is something definitely that I'm missing here. I need to do sadhana. I need to put some effort. It doesn't come to me. It's not hereditary. His grace is not hereditary. It does not come on its own. And this was the first time I have been shaken that way. And this is the first time there is a lesson that I need to learn, that I need to do something on my own to prove my credibility. It doesn't come automatically. And then I kept thinking, what is the sadhana that I can do? And the only thing that I could think of was practice. It's bhajan. It's not just auditioning and coming back and the next round of auditioning and coming back. Let me do some practice. So I decided for the next 1 week, I will get up at 5 a.m. in the morning. I will go to the music room in the hostel. I will keep the harmonium and just do Omkaram. I will just do Om. I wanted to fine-tune my voice first. So I just did that for 1 week. Just saying Om for about 10 to 15 minutes for about, no, actually till 5:30 till the Suprabhatam started. And then after that, after 1 week, I asked one of my friends to join me in the bhajan room. I told him, I want to go to audition again. I want to sing in front of you. Tell me if I'm doing something wrong. And I sang and he said, it sounds perfectly fine to me. I think you should go sing in front of him. And I went back to sir and I said, sir, I again want to audition. He said, are you sure? I said, yes, sir, I want to sing. And I sang the bhajan and his reaction was this. How many hours in a day did you practice? What did you do that magically your singing has changed? If anybody comes and asks me on with the same problem, I will direct him to him. Can you please guide them? This was a shock to me. I had never practiced so much that his expression meant that I had completely changed the style of my singing. And he said, it is perfectly fine now and you can go and ask Swami for permission. And I went and asked Swami for permission and he said, okay, fine, you sing. And I started to sing in the mandir after that. This incident gave me a very new perspective about what I earlier had. Now I'll pause a bit and give you a background of another small story. 1945, my grandmother and a set of ladies used to frequently go, after 1943, they used to frequently go to Puttaparthi to meet Swami on all festivals. And when they went there, they were the core people who sang in front of Swami. Those days, bhajans were not there. Those were more of namavalis. They used to sing like longer songs, apparently. And they used to be the core people. In fact, my grandmother and her sister were called as Patalammailu by Swami. I mean, the sisters who sing. That's how Swami used to refer to them. And these set of ladies used to go to Puttaparthi and sing all the time. And singing was a very integral part of their life. When they returned from Parthi, between festivals, they used to feel miserable because they used to miss singing in front of Swami. So one of the ladies suggested, why are we feeling so sad that we are not able to sing in front of Swami? Why don't we have bhajan sessions in our own homes? It will give us a chance for us to come together, talk about Swami and also sing the bhajans that we wanted to sing. And everybody got really excited about this idea and said, yes, why don't we start doing this? So they gathered, they finalized the date. They started on a Thursday. Every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m., let's assemble in one of our homes. Let's take turns to host this bhajan sessions every week. And all the men came, the children came. It was almost like a festival every single week. They gathered there and they started to sing bhajans. They did this for one full year. And then they wanted to celebrate the first year anniversary. They said, we have done this for one full year and it's a really big achievement for us in our family. We've set up a new culture for our younger generation as well. So why don't we celebrate this? And one lady came up with the thought, why don't we do bhajans for 24 hours? And that's the beginning of Akhand Bhajan. 1946, that's when they decided saying, we have completed one full year, so let us go do 24-hour bhajan. And that was this, they called it Akhand Bhajan. Everybody loved the thought. They said, it's a wonderful thought, we should do this. They started to plan for the event in one person's house, one of the ladies' house. And they said, they told my grandmother and my great-grandfather lived in Parthi those days. He was the pujari there. They said, why don't you go and inform Swami that we are doing this? So my grandmother went to Parthi and my great-grandfather and my grandmother went inside the, Swami called them for interview. And there were few other people also in the interview room. They went inside and told Swami, Swami, we've finished 1 year in having bhajans in our homes and we want to celebrate this. We want to do Akhand Bhajan. Swami was extremely pleased by this thought and they said, very good. Please go ahead and do this. I will be there. I will come to Bangalore. And they said, Swami, wait. We don't want you in Bangalore. We have just come here to inform you. We didn't come here to invite you, frankly. And they said, what is this? And there were other people there, and Swami looked at them and said, what are these people saying? I am telling them I will come there, and they are saying, don't come. And my grandmother fell at his feet and said, Swami, we are very poor people. If you come, there will be large crowds. We need to make lot more arrangements. It is frankly a bit headache for us. We don't want. We just give us your blessing. It is good. Looking at their plight, there were few more people in the interview room, and one elderly lady volunteered and said, no, don't worry. If your house is very small, I have a big hall in the outskirts of Bangalore. I will lend it to you. We will give it to you. Why don't you do it there? So they said, okay, it was in Magadi Road, for those of you who are familiar in Bangalore. And they said, we can't go there. We don't have means to go there. There was an inspector general of Mysore state in the interview room. And he said, I will give my car, my jeep, to transport people. Please take that. And my grandmother and my grandfather was at utter disbelief to say, what is this happening? We have never thought of something like this. And there was another gentleman there, and he had a flower showroom in Bangalore, and he said, I will offer the flowers. Another lady said, I have a huge photo. I will offer that photo. So literally everybody in that room said, we will help you do it. So please do an Akhand Bhajan as a bigger event. And Swami kept laughing and then said, don't worry, I will take care. You go make the arrangements. I will be there. And true to his word, he came on Wednesday. He said, I will come there on Wednesday itself. And they planned a huge event. And when he came, there are so many people who started pouring in. And at some point, they had to take a call and they said, no, stop it. Now, we don't want so many people. I don't think we can manage. We don't even have prasadam for them. And they said, they closed the door and started to send back people. They said, no, this is a private event. We are not open to everybody. And they said, Swami appeared in our dream and have called us, so we are invited to this. So they had no ways to say, don't come in. So they let people in, and it became such a huge gathering. My grandmother went again to Swami and said, Swami, you need to safeguard our honor. Now, this is such a huge gathering. We don't have prasadam. We can't give and feed all these people. Now, what have you done? And Swami said, don't worry. He came to the kitchen behind, and there were small vessels of prasadam made. And then he put akshata on them and said, akshayam, akshayam, akshayam. Go feed everybody with these vessels. Every single person who was there was fed sumptuously, and it never got over. That is how the first Akhand Bhajan started in 1946. And I want to share another trivia with you on the Akhand Bhajan. On the third year, this was the first year, on the third year of Akhand Bhajan, Swami apparently asked my grandmother, can you people sing Sai Hare Baba Hare for Akhand Bhajan? And my grandmother confidently nodded and said, yes, Swami, of course we can sing. And Swami said, you have to sing this for 24 hours. Just those four words. So, they actually composed Sai Hare and Baba Hare in 100 different tunes. And for third Akhand Bhajan, they sang only this. And that was the only Akhand Bhajan this happened. And I just wanted to share one thing. My mother was there during those days, so I actually asked my mother to sing one of those tunes, and I just wanted to share it with you.
Sai Hare, Satya Sai Hare, Hare Sai.
This particular song, for the next 25 years, This was the first bhajan they sang in every single Akhand bhajan. My grandmother used to sing this. They used to start the Akhand bhajan with this very bhajan for 25 years. And after 25 years, Swami said, "You have done enough now. Let this become a global phenomenon." And that's when he declared and said, "From next year it will be a global Akhand bhajan." I don't know how clearly you're able to see. That is the picture of Swami entering the Akhand bhajan hall in Bangalore on the left side. So Swami on the left hand side picture is where he is entering the Akhand bhajan hall. On the right to Swami, as in when we see, on the right side, that is my grandmother. On the right hand side, the person on the left is my great grandfather. He is doing the aarti for the, when Swami was there, sitting there in the Akhand bhajan. His name is Sheshgiri Rao. He was the first pujari in Puttaparthi. And the bottom, that's an interesting thing which my mother narrated to me. If you see that Om, they are made of small dots. Each of the dot is actually a bilwa leaf in gold. So when they presented Swami Aarati, so he materialized bilwa leaf and poured into that. And then when he asked them to pick it up later after everything, they picked it up and he said, "Count them." And they kept counting and it was not 108. And I think more than one person counted and it never added up to 108. And Swami said, "Give me, you don't know how to count." And one by one he kept counting. And it turned out to be 108. So now they've made it into a small portrait in my aunt's house and they have a small picture on the wall. So I just thought I'll share some moments of 1946 Akhand Bhajan moments with all of us today.
राम है स्वनाम धन्य राम धन्य राम राम को प्रणाम राम रमैया घट घट वासी सत्य कबीर बचन राम भजन कर मन राम भजन कर मन ओ मन रे कर तू राम भजन राम भजन कर मन राम भजन कर मन
श्री राम जय राम जय जय रामा श्री राम जय राम जय जय
Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
So coming back to my perspective puzzle I'm trying to solve. Going into 2006 November, these are some of the thoughts in my mind. And by now you can guess how again ego has started to poke my head and said, Nikhil, you have to sing in this Akhand Bhajan. Your grandmother, your mother, your aunt, the same story repeats in my head constantly. They've had innumerable chances singing in Akhand Bhajan. You should be singing. So, November 2006, as all of us know, Akhand Bhajan starts on Saturday. And on Friday, it was my turn to sing in the Mandir. So I went, I was sitting in the mandir, Swami came, Swami was there on the throne. The previous bhajan ended, they passed the mic to me, I adjusted the mic. And I started to sing in a completely wrong shruti. There was a little bit of commotion and it was as if the earth beneath me completely gave in for me. I came back to the right shruti immediately, which meant double damage. I started in a different shruti. I came back to a different shruti. Again, people gave me glances. I closed my eyes. Swami showed no reaction that day. He kept his head down, kept putting talam. I finished the entire bhajan. And right after that bhajan, Swami signaled for arati and left. I was devastated. And immediately my whole response was not about how I messed up today's bhajan. What am I going to do tomorrow? Akhand bhajan is starting tomorrow. And the general understanding or the norm is if you commit a mistake in bhajans during the bhajans in the evening, at least for the next few weeks you are not given the chance because you have to go practice singing and come back and then be more confident in singing there. So I wanted to sing the very next day because that's the Akhand bhajan. I knew there was no chance for me. I went back to my room. I did not have the courage to look at anybody that day. I got up, straight away walked back to my hostel. My friends kept asking me, hey, what happened? Was it a surprise to you? Were you not prepared? Did they do something wrong? Was it a last minute confusion? I said, stop asking all this. I'm in no mood to answer any of that. And the same internal battle started. Swami, why me? Why me today of all days? It could have been any other day. Why are you doing this? I have to sing tomorrow. I want to sing tomorrow. I had no courage to go and ask for a chance that day. I woke up on the Saturday morning and I went to Shailesh's room and I knocked on his door and he said, yes. I said, sir, I wanted to sing today. I told myself, if there is a chance, it's going to be now. I have to go and ask for it. I know it's going to be no, but that's the only option. I might as well go and ask him. And as expected, he said, see, you know how Akhand Bhajan is. Literally from all the institutions, the singers come and assemble here. And especially when Swami is there, when sitting there, obviously the main singers will sing. And even otherwise, it's very hard to promise because there are so many singers. And especially after yesterday's performance, and he gave me a smile and I understood what he was saying. I said, fine, sir. I came home. I came back to the hostel and I was again completely devastated. I sat for the bhajans in the evening that day. Akhand Bhajan started. I spent the evening for some time, went back, and constantly that monologue is happening within me. Swami, this is not done. You should not do this to me. Please don't do this to me. Do something. And I know it's not going to happen. There is no way. Sunday morning, I woke up at 6 o'clock. I went to the bhajan hall at 7 o'clock. Shailesh sir, who plays harmonium for the bhajans, is sitting almost at the end of the bhajan hall, almost like 15th row or 20th row or something like that. I somehow managed to go and sit behind him. He's not even looking at me. And the bhajans kept happening. And around 8:45 or so, the mics are turned on, lights are turned on, all signals are there that Swami is going to come. All the main singers come in front. They are sitting there very ready to sing. The whole tempo raises. All the nice bhajans have started to sing. Swami comes in after his rounds and comes in and sits on the throne. In the next 1 minute, he calls the teacher who is sitting right beneath his throne and he calls him. And he whispers something in his ear. Everybody wants to know what is that happening there. And that sir looks behind and tries to find somebody. And he spots Shailesh sir, who is right in front of me, who is playing the harmonium. And he walks all the way from the front to the end of the bhajan hall. And I'm curious what is going on here. And I'm trying to overhear their conversation. And this is exactly what he says. Swami wants all the main singers to rest for a while and non-main singers to sing. It was, my jaws dropped. Not because I got a chance to sing, but look at that phrase, because just yesterday, sir told me, especially when Swami is there, only the main singers will sing. And these are the words. He says, all the main singers should rest for a while and non-main singers should sing. And Shailesh sir looks around everywhere. There is not a single non-main singer who has been approved by Swami to sing in Mandir other than me. And I couldn't control laughing. My joy knew no bounds. And still I have not got a chance to sing. He still, I think he was still reluctant to say, only this fellow is here. What do I do now? He has no choice, and he said, give me your bhajan. And I told him my bhajan, and then they passed the mic to me, and I sang that bhajan, thankfully in the right note this time. Right after that bhajan, Swami got up and went inside the interview room. Sir looked at me and said, looks like Swami wanted you to sing today. It was an impossible event. I don't know how much more I can emphasize this. This was not possible. It was impossible. I am nobody there. There is no way that could have happened. And I being there at that moment and I getting a chance to sing there. I was in tears that day. This again refined my perspective puzzle a lot more. Now, this is how my perspective puzzle changed. I'm building the puzzle, but I have transitioned from things change drastically and dramatically, and things change dramatically in your favor, to Swami can do anything. You can establish communication with Swami. He listens to you, and if He wants, He will move mountains to make you happy. And this is a whole new level of having faith. So for me, that day, what was most important is, yes, I can establish that one-to-one connection with Swami at my level, however trivial my ask is. And remember, not a single episode happened with direct conversation with Swami. We don't need to have Him in person. I never spoke to Him. He never looked at me. It was just a heart-to-heart conversation that happened. And in my view, that happened only because of that craving, that yearning, that relentless knocking on the door. Swami, I am there. I need you. Open the door. Let's talk. For me, that changed the world. That changed the world completely. So if somebody had asked me, do you know who is Sai Baba, before I went and before these things happened to me in Parthi, I would have said, I don't know actually. And after this, if somebody had asked me, do you know who Sai Baba, I would still say, I don't know. But there is a world of difference between I don't know before and I don't know now. There is a world of difference. What I still don't know is why He does that. When does He do that? The trick is this, in my honest view. I think this is the last few things I wanted to share. He gives us opportunities. There is a way He taught me that if you keep knocking the door, if you keep asking me, if you connect with me internally, I will connect with you and I will give you. But do I know today, or am I confident today, that I will solve that puzzle completely? Never. I don't think. I will never know Him completely. I'll probably never complete that puzzle. He will always remain an enigma to me. I'll give you an example, because it's a funny, hilarious example. Sometime in 1940s, again 40s, early 50s, my aunt and the whole family were in Puttaparthi. The entire family, the men, the women, the children, all of them went to Puttaparthi. And Swami called each couple into the interview room. He said, one by one, each couple come inside, and He wanted to talk to everybody. And all the couples sat outside the interview room in a line, and He called one by one inside. And He spoke to them, and after a few minutes they went out and the next couple came in, and this kept happening. And there were a bunch of children, and my aunt also was a small child that day, must be in 8 years, 9 years or something like that. And there were a bunch of children, and they said, why are we left out of this? We should also be getting that. So they all decided and said, okay, fine, let's go lay claim to this. Let's go stand outside the interview room, and especially after the last couple come out, let's go in. And lot of elders warned them, saying, why are you going? What do you want? Don't do all this. Stay away. And they said, no. Swami is talking to everybody. He should talk to us also. So they all sat outside as a bunch, group of small children. And when the last couple came out, they went and stood at the interview door. And Swami apparently asked them, Emiti, meeku koriklu naya? And they said, what is this even? Do you also have something to talk to me? And they said, yes, Swami, we also want to talk to you. And said, okay, fine, come in. Let's see what you want. They all went and sat inside the interview room. And Swami asked, okay, tell me, what do you want? Nobody had any clue what they wanted. They just did not want to miss the attention, that's all. So they did not know what to ask for. And there was one person, one girl, who nudged my aunt a little and said, hey, you know what? A lot of us have actually appeared for public exams this year. ask him what happens to our result. And my aunt apparently told her, no, that's a very risky question. Let's not go there. It's a very risky question. And they said, no, ask him. He will know, ask him. And she gathered courage and said, Swami, a lot of us have appeared for public examination this year. Some of them for 10th standard, some of them for 12th standard, BSc, different degrees here. Can you please tell us what will happen to the result? And Swami looked at each and every one of them in eyes and then said, all of you will pass except for one person. And he did not say who that person was. That was the worst thing that could have happened inside the interview room for these people, because everybody felt it is them. Nobody has the courage to decide what is happening. And when they walked out of the interview room, all of them had long faces to say, why did we go? Why should have we gone and asked that question? I mean, this is a hilarious example, but I think the point is, it's not often that whatever you ask, it happens in your favor. He gives you an opportunity, but that still that puzzle remains that he is an enigma to all of us. So, coming back to my topic that I wanted to talk about, I think my journey so far can be best summarized by this. I start off in the center. As and when, I mean, years pass, I go to places, I meet more people, I gather more knowledge. I feel I've been solving this puzzle a lot better. But every time I come on the positive side, very soon I will be going towards the negative side. And this cycle keeps repeating, and the sum is always going to be zero. I will come to positive, I will go to negative. But the sum for me is always zero. So that's why I want to think that I am in a journey from zero to zero all the time. The only thing I want to remember is when I come to the positive, I'm sure that there will be the negative side coming very soon. And when I go to the negative, there are three things that I remember. Swami knows everything. He can do everything. I can talk to him and he will listen to me. And if he wants, he can change the world to make it happen for you. And just on that note, I want to end with one letter, which I think is a great message from Swami to all his devotees, which he wrote to my grandmother. Sir, can you just change? I have one letter which I'll try to read it for all of us here. It's not visible. This is the actual letter which he wrote. And he sent it to my grandmother. And I've put an English transcript here. I will read it for all of us. Sundaramma, accept my blessings. I have accepted your prostrations. When Sai is all protective, why are you expressing words of anguish? When Satya Sai is residing in your heart, how can bad elements enter your heart? When Bhadra Sai is with you, how can evil forces enter your heart? Sai devotees can never be helpless. They are never helpless. They are not going to be helpless. Devotee's heart is the residence of Sai. Devotee's ananda is the food of Sai. Devotee's happiness is the comfort of Sai. The comfort and well-being of devotees is everything for Sai. See that these words are ringing in your ears like the sound of temple bells. Swami will never be far from devotees. You are like milk. I am like the whiteness in the milk. No one can separate them. That is the relationship between a devotee and Baba. You get rid of the foolish illusion and fear. You have not done anything wrong. I do not punish people for mistakes. I am here to correct them. Hence, what you think as punishment by me is not punishment but a correction. It is a protection. Remembering Sai's name will ward off worries. When such a name shining like diamond stone is with you, will not the evil forces get destroyed? Can they ever come near you? Will Swami allow them? It is your illusion. Never think that way. Always remember this little Sai who is ever happy and is near you. That is enough. All happiness and comfort lies in that one thought. Your father and sisters are also doing well. Without worrying more, be happy. Convey my blessings to the children, Baba.
Ekunkar satna karta purak nirpar nirvair akal murak arjuni se bhang gur parsad जप आद सच जुगाद सच है भी सच नानक होसी भी सच
Krishna 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 Ji bolo
Nitya
नित जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो नित नित जपिए कृष्ण नाम जी बोलो गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय राधा रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
ಭಾರತ್ವಾಜಸಗೋತ್ರಮೋ रिश्ता इस दिल से दिल ही समझ पाएगा, दूर होके भी तुमसे तुम्हारा एहसास करवाएगा। पर आज तुम्हारी यादों में खोया किसी बात पर ये रूठा है, ओ मां तुम बिन बेजुबा होने की शिकायत कर बैठा है, बेजुबा होने की शिकायत कर बैठा है।
Dance! नजरों में भी तू है, ख्यालों में तू है, तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे। नजरों में भी तू है, ख्यालों में तू है, तेरे बिना रह न पाएंगे। साईं पकड़ के चलना सिखलाया, जीना है क्या इसका मतलब बतलाया, दूर न जाना कभी तुम, तेरे बिना क्या दिन क्या रातें, माँ तुम आ जा
Bye. करते परमात्मा मिलन का ये मौका ये सिलसिला है सदियों का साईं के दरबार में
जी हाँ जी हाँ जी
साईं के दरबार में जो आए वो देखे जो देखे वो जाने
जो आए वो देखे जो देखे वो जाने
तेरे दर पे तेरे दर पे तेरे धर्म सब ही एक समान
सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान
धर्म सब ही
हाजी
एक समान
हाजी
धर्म सब ही
हाजी
एक समान
हाजी
सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान
बोलिए बोलिए जी बुद्ध जोराष्ट्र महावीर नाम
बोलिए बोलिए जी बुद्ध जोराष्ट्र महावीर नाम
सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान
प्रेम धर्म ही एक देखो
सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान सिख ईसाई हिंदू मुसलमान
साई के दरबार में साई के दरबार में
जी हाँ जी हाँ जी
साई के दरबार में
वो है एक ही जाती